The World Bank says countries and regions with a high rate of urbanization lead in the effort to reach the Millennium Development Goals, or MDGs. For example, it says countries with large population centers in East Asia, like China, have made significant progress in reducing poverty. Lagging behind is sub-Saharan Africa, where about 70% of the population still lives in rural areas. Figures reflect a disparity between cities and the countryside. The World Bank says urban infant mortality rates are up to 9 percentage points lower than rural areas in Central Asia and Latin America. By comparison, the gap is as wide as 21% in sub-Saharan Africa. Jos Verbeek, the lead economist of the Global Monitoring Report 2013, says there are many reasons why urban areas are quicker to make social progress.
Urban centers are centers of economic activity, growth, and job creation. Consequently, poverty is significantly lower in urban centers than in rural areas. Then, at the same time, urban areas are better in service delivery.
While urbanization can greatly facilitate economic and social progress, Verbeek warns that unchecked city growth can quickly lead to slums. He says governments should use urban planning, including policies that increase the transparency of buying and selling land.
If you are not properly registered as a citizen of an urban area, you also often don't have access to government services. You might get turned away at a public health clinic in an urban area because you cannot prove residency.
In both cities and rural areas, a major factor in improving health and social services is financing. World Bank officials encourage the use of revenues from oil, minerals, and other resources to finance health and education systems. At the recent World Bank and IMF spring meetings, African policymakers debated how best to fund social services. Some favored greater state support and financing of health and education systems, while others preferred a combination of public and private financing. Uganda's Minister of Finance, Maria Kiwanuka, explains her government's policy.
We have a finite resource of oil. We're not Nigeria, we're not Venezuela, we're certainly not Saudi Arabia. So our oil will run for a certain amount of time and then run out. Then what? We must make sure, we decided in Uganda, that our investments must be such that they're sustainable and increasing so that we can pay an increasing amount of our share of the health and education budget. Our budget for health has been growing in absolute terms every year, but it stays at about 8 to 10% because our population is growing. So if we use the oil for health immunizations and health medicines and salaries this year, what about next year or the year after?
Kiwanuka says the government spends up to 10% of its budget on health and up to 15% on education. She says it prefers to spend its oil revenues on improving irrigation, electricity, and other infrastructure in rural areas. She says that will allow rural people to make more money and contribute to the healthcare system. But she says there are trade-offs.
We've said rather than emphasizing quick access to healthcare, let's say a health unit within 15 minutes of every habitation, we've said what if you have to walk a little bit longer, but then when you get to that healthcare center, it's actually stocked with drugs and they're health personnel to look after you, rather than having a clinic around the corner that doesn't have any supplies.
World Bank economist Jos Verbeek says there are many different ways to fund health and social services and curb poverty. The important thing, he says, is that resources be available, either directly or indirectly, to improve the health and education of rural people. He says it will help improve their job skills and make their transition easier if they decide to migrate to a city. I'm William Eagle in Washington.